Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah to the Jews. Alright, so let's get into the word. We won't talk about the glory within. Amen. The glory of God within us. The glory of God within us. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you ready? So we'll start with the popular part of scripture that talks about the glory. How many of you know it? Let me know whether you are a good Bible student. Do I have some dollars? Colossians what? Alright, Colossians 1:26. Since you don't know, it starts from 26. But I've already said it. So let's see it together. Colossians 1 from 26. It said the mystery which has been what? Hidden from what? Ages and from what? Generations. But has now been what? Revealed to his saints. I think there's a scripture again in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 5 and 6 that kind of affirm this saying. Let's see it briefly again. It said that your faith should not be on the wisdom of men, but your faith should be on the power of God. Are you here, everybody? And I was trying to explain, there's noise in the spirit. Gather your minds in one place. I was trying to explain that one time in service there, I said, if you look at the Bible now, it says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but rather in the power of God. And before here, Paul was speaking about wisdom. Alright? So, there's no way he would just run away from wisdom and start talking about power. Or some sort of, he's trying to make you understand that the wisdom of God is the power of God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So, he's reciprocating the wisdom of God for the power of God here in scripture. Alright? You know, one time the Pharisees were speaking about God's wisdom. They say, what kind of wisdom is this that even the blind can see? That even the deaf can hear? So the wisdom of God can show the power of God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible said in the book of Romans 1, it says, the gospel of God is the power of God. Are you seeing that? So instead of Paul saying wisdom here, he now reciprocated wisdom for power. That when you believe God's word, you are building your life on his power. When you believe his wisdom, you are building your life on what? His power, his strength, his ability. Are we together? So he said, the reason why I want you people to stay on the word, now go back to where we were in 1 Corinthians, is because I want your faith, your belief, not to be built on the wisdom of a man, but your belief and faith should be built on what? The power of God. Because the wisdom of a man can definitely fail. Even doctors, the greatest doctors, will tell you at some point that what is your belief? Who do you believe in? If you say Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha, they will tell you, I think you should now have faith there because we have exhausted all of our own means. So just trust your God. Doctors will tell you at some point. Are we together? That is where their faith, their own ability stops. And when we're reading the book of Job one time, in trying to describe the wisdom of God, the Bible said even death does not understand this wisdom. Meaning the wisdom of God can even help you to live above death. You know, God can save you from death by his wisdom. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? His wisdom can save you from death. Maybe via accident, maybe via sickness, maybe via witchcraft. Yes, there's witchcraft. Some of us believe in it. If you don't believe in it, it's not like we believe they can kill us. We just believe it exists. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There are certain people who do witchcraft. And they've dealt, you know, I was hearing a story one time of a pastor somewhere in Niger that his wife, very emotional woman, and it's not bad to give to the poor. She saw one of these people that beg, these beggars. In the north, they call them almajeris. But this one was on a wheelchair. He was begging and was a wheelchair or something like a buris, you know, that he moves on the ground. I don't know what to call that, but you know what I'm trying to talk about. And begging her for money, and she felt emotional and removed some money and gave him. Immediately she gave him. True life story. I don't know how to believe it, but it was said, and the person that said it is not a liar. She, I didn't see it with my eyes, I'm telling you what I heard. She became sick, meaning she couldn't walk. His condition became a condition. Alright? So she was now on the ground, then he was now walking. So the people that saw the thing rushed and held him and started beating him up. But he wouldn't tell them anything. Are we together? They beat him up. He was not saying, make her, they were just beating him. Change her, change her. So when they took them to police station, they called the husband who is a pastor. He came there. They now asked, what will you do? The police asked him, what will we do now for this? Or what will you do for this woman to walk again? He said the woman should kiss him. Alright? And the pastor was not comfortable with that. But the police said, is it not just kiss? That she should just kiss him, let everything finish. And when she dared to kiss him, they both disappeared. Now, true. Sounds like a lie, isn't it? Amen. But they said it was a true life story. Imagine your wife disappeared with Almachiri. Kai, God of mercy. Where will you start from if you don't have the wisdom of God? Where will you start from? Even police said this matter has passed them. Where will they start from? Where is the man that wrote statement? Nowhere. Where is the woman that is the victim? Nowhere. Police too may be sacked. The man was confused, and of course they said he prayed and some sort of a miracle happened. I didn't really get it, but they just summarized the end. Now I heard this one also about a woman in Lagos. The man wasn't walking yet because he's a pastor. According to him, he believed God had called him into full-time ministry. So he told his wife he's not supposed to walk because it will be a distraction to his ministry. And he quit. He quit at his job. And so the woman alone was working. And of course, I think more than 60% of what happens in the family, she was the one in charge financially. And one day the man woke up after praying in the midnight and told the woman, don't go to work today. Don't go to work today. And she said, I can't stop work. Oh. If they sack me and you will be jobless. So I have to go to work. And he said, no problem. Then he was worried, but he was praying for her while she went to work. Of course, he had to understand, because if they sack the woman, where will he start from with the woman? And while she was going, if you had been in Lagos or you've heard this story before, you know what they call one chance. She was apprehended by one chance people. And of course, they took her and were going. It works in different dimensions. The one I've heard is that they can touch you like this and your brain will just, you know. Or some of them can even talk to you. When you reply, you are gone. You just be following them anywhere they are going to. Alright? And the woman too, they touch her. As they spoke to her, you know, they can arrange themselves in a bus and keep you on space. You enter and just sit in the space. You would think you are going somewhere, but they are carrying you to where you don't know. It happens. In Abuja lately, I don't know if you've heard, the one chance people, they will be gist themselves like strangers. You just enter, they will just catch you. That's the end of you. Amen? So, the woman was apprehended, they were going. But, you know, the story made me laugh because they said the bag she was holding, they could not remove the bag. So she held the bag like this. I said, women, even in one chance, under the mastery of one chance, they still held their bag. What kind of thing is that? She held her small bag so tight and she was shivering. So she started shouting, of course, because the man was praying. She was shouting in the bus, and the way the people behave is that if you are trying to distract them, you can just open the door, push you out and continue. So they pushed her out and she fell to the ground and they continued moving. But she was still under the influence of their witchcraft or something. Amen? And the husband kept on ringing her phone so much, and somebody had the impetus to just chuck his hand in her bag. And saw she saved the man's name as my baby or something. And the person picked, said, Oga, are you the blah, 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 your wife is in so-so place, blah, blah, blah. He rushed there. And white people were panicking and pitying the woman. And said, yeah. He just came under the power of the Holy Ghost and laid his hands on the woman. And when he laid his hands on the woman, the charm immediately broke into pieces. And she stood up and hugged him. Now, the man is not a chief. Alright? I like that response. The man didn't have a Lamborghini yet. but he had the Holy Spirit. See, a man is not a covering because he has money that can cover for your needs alone. You have spiritual needs too. And if you understand this life, the supernatural controls of physical. Now, am I advocating for you to marry broke people? No. That's not what I'm trying to say. Are we together? You know, sometimes when I preach like this, young men are excited with me. They're like, Pastor, preach for me. You know, that lady, I must get her. Now, I'm not saying she should not marry you. And I've always said it. I said, a man who is only conscious of the supernatural and not how that he will make become successful in the physical is even a dangerous man. He's a dangerous man. He's not a man to be married to. You know, they will tell you, if you marry a man with television, you see me in the television, because me, I have vision. You've heard some young boys talk, which is actually supposed to be wisdom. But some of them are serious about their job. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? About their work. You know, I handled a case. They said the young man was not working. He was just praying and posting on Facebook. The lady had to quit the relationship. But of course, those are the kind of people that will tell you, if you marry a man with vision, with television, you will see me with vision inside the television. But there are a lot of young men with vision who ladies marry the ones with television and till date have not seen them in the television. Because they were not really serious about their life. Are we together? Now, I'm not saying ladies should look for men with television. That's not what I'm trying to say. But of course, the Bible says watch and pray. As you are in a relationship, be looking, be using your head too. If the young man is not a visionary, if he's not thinking, alright, he's just only praying, it can be a disaster too. Meanwhile, the other extreme is that if the man is only conscious of money, and conscious of making money, and he's not conscious of the supernatural, it's a disaster too. Is the truth. Because there are supernatural forces. And I was studying one time, I don't know if I told leaders, I said, I found out that the devil, you know, all these witches in our villages and the rest are not the only witches that really exist. Satan is everywhere looking for ways to make sure that human beings, not just Christians, human beings are destroyed. The Bible calls him the father of destruction, the father of all lies. The Bible says he had come before to what? Steal, to what? Kill, and to what? He just wants every human being, not every Christian, every human being to be destroyed. Because we are God's image and likeness. Are you listening to me? That's the goal of Satan. The goal of Satan's existence right now. I mean, that's not what God created him to do. Remember, he was first Lucifer before he became Satan. Are we together? So when he negated God, the Bible says he took one third of the angels in heaven, and I think that was what the Bible said, and they became his cohorts. And right now, everything that is for God, he wants to stand against it. That is why if God say man and woman, he will say man and man. Yes, he will say man and man. Or he will say woman and woman. Because he wants to negate everything that is God. If God say this is not good for you, he will want to make you understand that that's good for you. What did he tell Eve, the first temptation? He said you will not truly die. He's trying to make her understand that what God said is not truly true. The effect will not be like that. He said what will happen is that your eye will just be open. That's why God doesn't want you to. Your eye will be open. So look at it. She ate so that her eye will be open. She will start seeing things like God. You want to be like God. That's how the devil behaves. The Bible says it's like a roaring lion looking for souls to what? Devour. He wants to destroy people. And the earlier you understand this, the better for you. Are we together? Now, when Adam fell, alright, by disobedience, God had a plan B for salvation. And what's that plan? He wanted to come as Jesus, die as Jesus, be buried as Jesus, resurrect as Jesus for our sake, our victory. Are we together? Which he did. And when he resurrected, he gave us the victory. Isn't it? See what the Bible says in Colossians 3 and 1. Let's see it briefly. 3 and 1. We'll come back here. It said, if then you were raised with Christ, it said, then seek those things which are what? Above. Are you here? Above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. How many of you believe that by faith you died with Christ? That's what we proclaim in baptism. By faith, we were buried with Christ, and by faith we did resurrect with Christ. You understand that, right? Not because you experienced it physically, but because of your faith in Jesus' work. Are we together? So Paul is saying, writing to a church, he said, if then you believe that you were raised with Christ, meaning the summary, he didn't want to start from died, buried, resurrected. He just ended with a summary. He said, if then you were raised with Christ, meaning if then you died, were buried, and raised with Christ. Are we together? He said, seek those things. Now the things you should seek should be things above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. It simply means that your ability and capacity should be likened to where Jesus is right now, not what you have been experiencing before. In other words, if Jesus is not saying he's weak right now, you are not weak. Little wonder the Bible says, let the weak say, I am. And let the poor say, I am. You can't start liking yourself after the order of the first man. The Bible even told us that in 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. Let's see it briefly. 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. Very briefly, in the Amplified rendition, the Amplified version. I want everybody to read. One, two, go. So from now on, we what? We regard no one. Did he say no Christian? Did he say no Christian? He said no human being. Let's read again. One, two, go. So from now on, we regard no one from a what? According to what? And what? Value. Worldly standards and value. To see somebody from a human point of view is to regard them from a worldly standard, from worldly standard and what values. He said, though we have known Christ from a human point of view before, we had known Christ in that manner. He said, now we no longer know him in this manner. Why? In Acts 7, the Bible says, in him we live, breathe, and have our being. So, you see, the state of Christ per time determines our being. There was a time Christ was walking in the flesh as a man. Are we together? Took upon himself the nature of our sin. The Bible said, don't see yourself after that manner. It says, see yourself after the manner that he attained when he resurrected from the dead. The Bible said, he humbled himself to death, and by so reason, God gave him the highest name. That the name of Jesus, every word, knee bow, and every word, tongue confesses that he is king. So Paul is saying, don't see yourself after the standard of Jesus in the flesh. Begin to see yourself after the standard of Jesus in the spirit. Who is Jesus in the spirit? Jesus who is resurrected as the Christ. And that's why Paul also said in Colossians 3:1. He said, if you died with him, you are not supposed to see yourself like before again. You have to start seeing yourself as a new person. And that's why the Bible says, if anybody be in Christ, he's a what? New creation. He said, all things are gone. But somebody may ask, how do I see myself? How do I get into Christ and start? Now, you may be natural. You may tell yourself, today, Lord, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. You are the King of my life. It doesn't end there. You must embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is how God works everything that is in Jesus at the Father's right hand now into your life. All right? The Holy Spirit is God's ministry. Functional ministry on the earth today. And what is the purpose of that ministry? To work out everything Jesus attained on Calvary for your sake in your life. So it's not enough to say I resurrected with Jesus. He wants to make sure that you look like the resurrected Jesus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So if you don't embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, everything Jesus did on the cross of Calvary will never become your reality. You can only admire it and talk about it, but you can't work in them. That is why in John 15 he said, I will not leave you helpless. When I go, I will send you the comforter. Jesus said it is expedient. In other translation, he said it is to your advantage that I go so that he may come. Because at that time, while Jesus was upon the face of the earth, he was limited to Jerusalem, to the 12. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? He couldn't be there in Nigeria at the same time. There's a dimension that can make sure, that can capacitate him or give him the privilege, or how do I put it? Make it possible for him to be in different location at the same time. And that dimension is God on the earth working as the Holy Spirit. That is why somehow we call God the omnipresence God. He can be everywhere at the same time. How is he omnipresence? By the Holy Spirit. For instance, everybody here is filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? And when you go back home, you all go with your Holy Spirit. We don't leave the Holy Spirit around. I say, Holy Spirit, you must be in me, don't be in that person. He's in everybody at the same time. And that would have not happened until he went and came back as the Holy Spirit. Like I always say, the mystery of Trinity is not that God is three. No, God is one, but he's in manifestation in three dimensions for our salvation. Alright, in the beginning there was no problem, so he was Father, and he is still Father, source and sustainer of the universe. Now, when man needed salvation because of the disobedience of Adam, he decided to come as Jesus. I hope you know Jesus is God. And that's why in John 14, he said, when they say, show us the Father, he said, he that has seen me has seen the one that has what? Sent me. He had to come in the dimension of Jesus to reveal to you that you ought to be like Jesus. I mean, that's the most beautiful part of it. He came as Jesus to make you understand that you have to live like Jesus. Yes, that's what the Bible said. In 2 Corinthians, for instance, 3:18, what did the Bible say in the NKJV rendition? The Bible calls Jesus our mirror. We're going to read together. Everybody, are you here? Want to go? He said, but we all be what? Beholding what? As in the mirror, the glory of the Lord. You see that? And who is the glory of the Lord? Hebrews 1 and verse 3. It said Jesus is the express image of the Father. He is the glory of the Father. What does this mean? It means that when you see Jesus, you see yourself. Because the Bible said we were created in God's image and likeness. But of course, the fall of man distorted that ideology in our heart. The fall of man made sure that this goal God had for humanity was never achieved. Of course, in the Garden of Eden, there was an algorithm to bring man into God's dream for him. What was the algorithm? That man will eat from the tree of life. And as he ate from the tree of life, you get to realize that God in the spirit has created him as his what? Image and likeness. But that didn't happen. So he was limited to touching the glory. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? He didn't touch the glory. Hallelujah to Jesus. Romans 3 said, for all have sinned, past tense, in one man, and were limited to touching. They couldn't touch the glory. He didn't say we fell from the glory. He said we couldn't what? Touch the glory. Are we together? But see the beautiful part of it. In Christ Jesus, the Bible said, but we all with unveiled faces. He said, beholding us in the mirror the glory of the Lord, have been what? Transformed. From the glory of the Old Testament into the glory of what? The New Testament. Even by the Spirit. How does this happen? By the Spirit. How does this happen? By the Spirit. So if you don't embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, can this happen? No. So it's not a choice. You say, I love Jesus, but I can't embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's quite haphazard. I don't like the fact that some Christian will sit down and will be like, lebe, lebe, lebe. Are they mad? Are they not being stupid? You know, many years ago on campus, I said this story. I schooled in BSU. And I sat down somewhere in the second campus. That park, they call it SU Park or something. And a young man came with a lady. I perceive he was asking her out, or she was his girlfriend or something. And, you know, there's a way I behave sometimes. I can fake like I'm listening to a song with an earpiece. If you remember me on campus, if you knew me on campus, I always put on earpiece when I'm walking. But I was not listening to any music that day, and I do it a lot just to avoid talking, so people would think I'm busy. And that day, coincidentally, I was not listening to a song, so I was doing something on my phone. And it was like, he was looking at the people praying. You know basketball court, right? Some of you who did BSU. The way people pray like lions there. Now, we're not saying that people should be praying there every time. It's okay. People should also read their books. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? But what I was destroying now in his heart was the fact that he was even against the prayer entirely. Alright? So he said, send these ones to come to school and read book. They'll be doing like mad people everywhere. What is the meaning of, are they mad? I was feeling pain in my heart. He said, are they stupid? What kind of... Now, he was trying to impress that dear lady. Meanwhile, I'm sure if they told that lady to choose a husband, right there, she wouldn't choose him. She would rather go and carry one that is praying in tongues. Because they wouldn't dress better than him. He now did men. He was talking, a teen boy doing men. You know what that means, right? He's talking, how you do men, men. Out of anger. And instead of the lady to agree what he's saying, the lady said, calm down. They're not doing anything bad. In my heart, I said, this lady is not meant for this guy. Let me finish this thing. And make sure she meets her husband in the future. Then I remove my earpiece. I say, young man, how are you? You know, when I get angry those days, I call somebody young man, even if you are old. I said, how are you? He just looked at me, he didn't answer me. I said, these people are praying in the spirit. That's what I told him. In case you don't know what this means. So I showed him a scripture in my phone. I said, this is how the disciples prayed. And I showed 1 Corinthians 14. I said, when we pray like this, the Bible said to men, it is stupidity, but in the spirit is wisdom. So I said, you are the main man here, the Bible is talking about. He said, to main men, what you are saying is nonsense. Are they saying nonsense? He looked at me. I said, that means you are a main man. I said, but in the spirit, we are uttering mysteries. I said, so we are not saying rubbish. Guess what the lady did? True. That's what she said. Very true. And now said, if you don't mind, we have meetings. She said, no, I'm not in this school. I'm in Union Greek. I said, oh. Oh, come to Union Greek one time. We'll find you. So I stood up and I left because I knew I'd already caused so much trouble. I left. Thank God he doesn't know me. He doesn't know my number. Have my number. He wouldn't leave his girlfriend and follow me. He doesn't know my house address. So I left in peace. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I moved on. So I said, you are just saying this thing because the Bible, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. The Bible already said it. Is it to men? What will we do? Hey, blah, 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 blah. They say, Momo idiot. Idiot. Stupid people. That's what men will say. I used to be like that. Oh, there, Jesus. My God. Many years ago, as a church boy, I was an instrumentalist. My two friends now went and said they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like that, they came back and they started praying in tongues. So I was wondering, these two boys I know who are bad boys are now praying in tongues. When did that rubbish start? In fact, if God wants to give people praying in tongues, it's not these two boys that I know. Because I know the things they know. When ladies are passing to give offering, they will be discussing the ladies. All of a sudden, they came back from a program and said they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were now advising me to come and pray in tongues. Then I remember what the pastor will be preaching, will be outside arguing. I'll tell them, my gift is not praying in tongues. My gift is music. Your own gift is praying in tongues. I used to say things like that. They said, no, everybody, and they didn't have sufficient wisdom to truly explain it to me. We will argue, then I'll mock them at the end. I say, what is what is all those rubbish? They will not have anything to say. When I became filled with the Holy Spirit, somebody said, what convinced you? See, I can't tell you what convinced me. I was just convinced all of a sudden. You know, some of the Bible said the Holy Spirit bears witness. He bears witness. Sometimes your mind doesn't even understand, but your spirit agrees. I told you when I became born again. It was the day I was supposed to mess up my life. And somehow the Holy Spirit helped me. I was listening to Chris Delvan. I was scoring a drum for the Holy, this song they call He's the Holy Ghost. I was trying to score the drum line so that I'll play for a church. Then I'll go with my friends and whatever. You know? And the Holy Ghost got me there. So the church were looking for me to play in Dariaza. They couldn't find me. I was in a prayer group in the same church. Not my church. I joined them. When I entered, everybody was surprised. Then I saw my two friends there praying. I said, oh, this is where they got this thing. So I joined them and I was praying. Before I know, they just laid, my spiritual father just came to me. He laid hands on me. Boom! After he laid hands on me, I said, I've seen everywhere. Like, I was just feeling like God was touching me like this. And I started praying. Oh, bakarata, papa. Do you know the same thought? I had to doubt myself for a moment. The same thing I was using to mock them. That's how I started it with. The same tongues I used to, yeah, you people who didn't, yeah. I started with that tongues. God did not give me a new tongue to start with. When I opened my mind and tried to put my mind in what I was saying, I said, is it not this thing I'm using to mock? I said, am I sure I know what I'm saying? Before I finished asking myself that question, my spiritual father came to me again in the prayer, as if he was hearing me. He said, this is what Satan will make you feel like you are saying a stupid thing, young man. But you are saying something he cannot block. You know, is it this IP address you are using now? Satan cannot try to block it anywhere because it goes direct from your heart to the heart of God. He doesn't understand these things. They are mysteries. I said, beautiful. Then I continued. That was what happened. And of course, we have seen countless miracles of praying in the Spirit. Countless miracles. Hallelujah to Jesus. Somebody asked me one time, I said, Pastor Simon, what of interpretation of tongues? How do we get the interpretation of tongues? I said, there are tongues of men and there are tongues of what? Angels. For tongues of men, there is an interpretation. Alright? In the book of Acts 2, the Bible said the disciples were in one accord at the upper room, and the Holy Ghost came upon them like cloven fire. And the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to pray in other tongues. I have a suggestion, they prayed in other tongues before they went and preached in other tongues. When they were filled with the Spirit, the 12, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, they started praying in tongues. When they prayed in tongues, they went out and were preaching in tongues. The one they were praying at the upper room has no interpretation. But when they came down and were walking to talk to people, that one had an interpretation because there was need. The people were of different tribes and they always gathered at Pentecost. You people get what I'm trying to say? And celebrate Pentecost. So they had different tribes. So God cannot be speaking the only tribe in that city for them. He had to empower them. In a day, men started speaking other people's tribe by default. I think lately I heard an evangelist even sharing this testimony. That he went somewhere to preach. And immediately he held the mic. The Holy Ghost gave him the ability to start speaking Portuguese. He had never learned it before. This is tongues of men. 1 Corinthians 14, tongues of angels. When we say tongues of angels, we are not saying angels are praying in the tongues we are praying. We are saying that when we pray in these unknown tongues, to men we may be saying nonsense. But in the spirit we are saying things that even spiritual beings can understand, like angels. Because when we say those things in the spirit, they hear us literally. And we are passing instructions to them. That is why if you look at verse 28 of Romans 8, that said talking about tongues in verse 27, the Bible says in verse 28, it said, then we know that all things begin to work together for good when we pray in the spirit in verse 26. So anytime you are quoting that scripture and say, all things work together for good, remember, they started from verse 26. What will make sure everything works together for your good? When you pray, and not just praying anyhow, praying in the spirit. And that is why Paul still said the same thing in the book of Thessalonians. He said, rejoice always. He now said, pray without ceasing. Then at the later part of it, he then says, and give thanks to God in all circumstances. He said, then everything will work for your good. You see that? So we may not know what we are saying, but in the spirit we are saying things that will make sure everything works together for our good. We are giving angels instructions, angelic beings. They are listening to us. I told you what happened to me again on campus. A lady always came to hit our door when we prayed. She will insult the hell out of us. Every time she will insult us. And so when we were praying, I had to even talk to my guys to reduce their prayer because I was scared of the lady. I was literally getting scared of the lady. Not in the spirit, physically. Because she had boldness. She will hit the door. Bob, Bob, I will break this door. Idiot, bastard. You know, allow somebody to sleep. And I had this young man who was growing under me too spiritually, who had the voice of a lion. When we are praying, he will not pray. When we are praying, he's booting. We are deep in the spirit, but he's booting. And he will be shaking his leg. Just be doing it. Why in the spirit deep? He'll be doing like this. Then the next thing you hear, when he opens his voice, everybody will wake up in that compound. You just say, help over us. We'll just say, calm down, Lord, calm down. Whenever he just raises his voice, the lady will come and knock. Wicked people. And anytime she knocks, you see me telling them, calm down, calm down, calm down. You know, they'll tell me, Pastor, just give us, especially young man. He said, give me the chance, sir. If I go out, I'll raise this lady up and throw her away on the ground. I said, but you are praying in tongues. How will you go and raise somebody and throw in the gutters? How will she be talking to you like this? One time we went outside, we were talking. Just enjoying the morning. She said, hey, you people will be playing now. You don't allow us sleep. You slept well. Look at you people. Enjoy yourself. Rubbish. Stupid people. He stood up. He said, sir, just allow me to show this lady one small thing. You know, he's a huge young man. I said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. She went inside. Because that's not the way to go about it. It was not wisdom. So we allowed all the insults. One day, in the afternoon, I didn't have money on campus. I'd used my money for many things in church. So they finished. And I came back home praying. And you know, I'd cultured myself. I didn't know how to cook so much. So I always eat out. And that was my surviving mode. I couldn't cook so well. So I was praying, God, I need money in the name of Jesus. I was just praying, of course. If I don't pray, what will I do? Should I beg? I started praying that God should bring a miracle for me for money. And when I prayed in tongues, I started confessing the words in English. Then she heard me saying, money, come to me now in the name of... I was calling for money in the name of Jesus. Money, you come to me. Locate me. She now said, who calls money? Now, that's when she was giving the testimony. She said, how can somebody be calling for money? She said, God, if this guy is real, the money I'm looking for to pay for so-so thing in school, give it to me before tomorrow. That same day, she got it in the evening. Now, when she got it and even more, I was sitting outside. And she came to me. She said, sir, that's what she told me. I was shocked when I heard sir. So I shifted a little bit. I said, me? She said, yes. I said, are you okay? She said, very okay, sir. I know you are surprised. I said, you are calling me sir. Amazing. So I shifted. I said, you can sit down. When she sat down, I stood up. I said, what is it? She said, no, sit down. I said, don't worry, I'm fine standing up. She said, I know you are scared, but I have not come for that purpose today. I have come to give my tithes. I said to her, tithes? Of course, we didn't have a church, so I didn't collect it. So I said, we don't have a church. We only run a fellowship. All right? So you give your tithe to a church. I said, but what is the problem? She said, you were praying about money and did this happen? Blah, 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 blah. I said, and you got the message? She said, yes. He didn't stop there. Guess what she said next? I want to receive Jesus. I led her to Jesus. She didn't stop there. She asked for the worst. She said, I want to pray in tongues. Can I pray in tongues? I just did like this. Why not? And I called all my people. I said, meet me in technical block. This lady is about to pray. I said, sir, we don't get... I said, yes, that lady, the enemy, is about to pray in tongues. As we entered technical block, it didn't waste time. I said, she just went under the power of the Holy Ghost as I prayed in tongues. Oh, I led that to a church to continue. I was so excited. I remember another testimony of praying in tongues. You see, when I preach like this, I'm not saying rubbish. I know God is speaking to somebody. Lastly, there's this young man. He's an accountant today in Lagos. Great guy, doing so well. He's a pastor too. We were living together. Somehow, by circumstance, he was not supposed to live with me, but somehow we started living together. So he would come to that house because I just came into campus, but he knew the person I was staying with. So he would come early in the morning to pray in the room. When he's done praying, then he would go back home. So we didn't know ourselves, so we're just looking at ourselves and greeting ourselves, you know. So anytime he finished praying, he would go back home. So I was interested in, I liked the fire he had. I was coming from where we prayed very well. So I saw somebody praying. I was very happy that he likes to pray. So when he's done praying, I will start my own prayer. Now one day the Holy Spirit said, pray with him. I said, this one, will he even respect me? So I checked his jotter and he was struggling with the word of God. What he knew was not really okay. So I called him one morning. I said, can I talk to you? The Lord led me to you. He said, why not? When I was done teaching, he was blessed. We became close. So he would come, fetch water, arrange the house. He started, of course, that's when he knew I was a pastor. And started joining me to pray. He wanted to learn how to pray more and the rest. So when we pray, sometimes he's sleeping. So when I'm done praying, I have this discipline. When I'm done praying and you are sleeping, I will be sleeping, then you pray. So I don't used to complain. I'll be praying and you'll be... So when I was done, I said, I'm done. It's your time to pray while I sleep. So I started sleeping. I said, pray. So he started praying because he wanted to sleep fast too. When he became very in the spirit, I was praying. Everything he was saying in other tongues, I was hearing in literal English. So I thought I was dreaming because I was actually sleeping. But I pretended. I told him, I'm not sleeping. No, I'm just meditating. But I was sleeping. But I don't know what was happening. I was hearing him in literal English. So I told him, I said, you, somebody is sleeping. You are telling me your problem when I woke up. I said, you are telling me your problem when I'm sleeping. Why not wait for me to wake up in the morning? He said, sir, I did not talk to you. I said, you were disturbing me in the night. I think I didn't hear you. Selling, you want to tell tell me a confession, blah, blah, blah. And when I woke up, I said, he said nothing like that happened. I said, didn't you tell me this? What happened to him in secondary school? That he never told anybody some things that were very personal to him that he needed to say it out so that he's not destroyed by them. When I told him, he said, sir, only me and God know this thing I'm telling you. And he started crying that they've haunted him for years. I said, nobody told me this. That means I heard it in the spirit while we were praying in other tongues. Meaning the Holy Spirit was speaking the thing from him in other tongues. They were mysteries, but I was hearing in English. And you people get what I'm trying to explain to you. Very true. Very, very true. And now you can grow in a dimension where you don't need to sleep to understand it. That a man can just sit down, if you are truly in the spirit, as he's doing labra shabba, you can be hearing the interpretation in other tongues. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you here? So it is very important you understand that the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us is how we can enter into everything God has designed for us on Calvary. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you neglect the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you will never be able to enter into your purchased possession. Let's see, for instance, Ephesians 1 from verse 15. Then I'll quote one scripture on obedience and we'll close. He said, therefore, I also, after I heard, this is Apostle Paul speaking. He said, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, meaning that when he heard that they were born, he heard that the church in Ephesus were born again. So he was happy that they were born again. And he wrote to them. He said, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for one another, he heard that they loved one another, so he was happy. Then he said to them, he said, that's not enough. Next part of scripture in verse 16. He said, do not cease to give thanks. Paul is saying he doesn't cease to give thanks and make mention of them in his prayers. He was also praying for them and giving thanks to God for their salvation. Next part of scripture. He said, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of what? Wisdom and what? Of the knowledge of him. So he thanked God they were born again, but he also was praying for them to have what? Wisdom and the revelation of God. Because it's one thing to be born again. It's one thing again. It's another thing again for your mind to be transformed to understand this, your born again nature and born again environment. This is your new world. Are we together? So Paul did not only thank God and stop at them being born again. He was also praying for them to have the wisdom of God and the revelation of God like you are listening to today. And one of the places to get that is in church. Are we together? And that's why the church is very what? Important. Because the Bible calls the church the ground and the pillar of truth. Of truth. And that's what the Bible said in Ephesians 4, around 12 down through 14. It says the fivefold ministry, which are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers of God's word. It said they will edify the saints. They will edify the saints. Other renditions say they will perfect the saints. It said when they perfect the saints, it said then the saints who are perfected should what? Do the work of the ministry. Now this is how God wants to make sure that his end time plan, alright, parousia, meaning the kingdom reign on the face of the earth, happens. He wants to see, he is using the church as a tool to making sure that the parousia finds expression at the end. And if Satan wants to alter God's plan at the end, which is the earth becoming exactly like the heaven, you know, that's the dream of God. That as it is in heaven, so shall it be upon the face of the earth. The first thing Satan will try to attack is the church. And that's why if you observe, Satan has been trying to attack the church, even through the church people. Sometimes why you are foolish in church after staying for a long time is because of Satan wants you to distort God's plan. That the reason now, sometimes you can grow to height in church of leadership. You have a lot of responsibility and probably your foolishness can cause a tremendous destruction in that part of the church. Satan targets you. The Bible says, strike the head, the shepherd, he said, then the sheep will be what? Scattered. So if Satan wants to scatter wonderful lives, he sees wonderful life under your pastorship. He looks at them. He said, let me just distort their destiny. Then he looks at the leader. He now strikes the leader. And of course, he will not strike the leader if there is no way for him to strike the leader. The reason why Satan used Judas, the Bible did not destine Judas to be the one to betray Jesus. The Bible said one. Judas was the one that made himself available. How? He loved money. And the Bible said the love of money is what? Root of evil. Meaning if you see yourself loving money, know that you are a good tool for Satan to use you. You see yourself loving women? No! See yourself loving men? No! There's trouble. See yourself full of pride? No, there's trouble. You are paving way for Satan to come through your life. And that's why the Bible said, Jesus boldly declared, he said, Satan came to me and found no reason to flow through me. He couldn't find a space to even put his leg. And the Bible said, as he is, so are we. Where? In this present world. So Satan understands the ministry of the church. He knows what the church is supposed to do. As the saints are perfected, the saints will do the work of the ministry. As they do the work of the ministry, what happens then? He says, then it will add up to the edification of what? The body of Christ. And when God sees his body in place, he will come and, of course, put his head so that it will become a complete human being. That's the end of everything. But what would distort this thing? A lot of times, Satan will come from within. He will come from within the fourth calling. I thought that before on leadership. He will always want to come from within. See, if the world are against the church, it's not a problem. But if the church are against themselves, that becomes a problem. The Bible says, a house divided against herself cannot stand. So he always comes from within. And that's why sometimes when you misbehave in church, I always tell people, think about it when they come to my office. Because when they cannot handle some of you, they bring you to my office. I said, think about it. Why do you think all of a sudden you are misbehaving? You know, when I'll do that story for you before we end. While we're talking about Samuel, I don't know if you've read that story before. King Saul. At a point when Samuel was talking to him in First Samuel 15, he said, you who saw yourself as a nobody. Meaning when God was telling Samuel that you are king, I mean Saul that you are king, even Saul was like, hey, well, me? Come on, me? He said, you who saw yourself as nobody is now distorting what God says you should do. You who God has made, given honor and made you a king, you are distorting what God says you should do. I'm going to teach you about that. Just a few seconds, a few minutes and we close. Next part of scripture. Hallelujah. So you have to understand what Satan is doing. It's like a what? Roaring lion. Everybody, let's read together. That in the dispensation of fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things, both which are in heaven and those on the earth. Next part of scripture. Am I in the right place? Next part of scripture. It said, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. Being what? According to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Next part of scripture. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Next part of scripture. It's something I'm looking for. In whom also, in him you also trusted. After you heard the gospel of? In him also, having believed in Jesus, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Why were you sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? Meaning God is saying that if somebody becomes born again, give the person the Holy Spirit. Why would the person have the Holy Spirit? Next part of scripture. It says, who is the guarantee of our what? Inheritance. Unto what? The redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So you see, you can never enter what Jesus has purchased for you until with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that you enter. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no guarantee that you enter. Are you here this wonderful morning? Are you listening to me? And one thing, one scripture, then we go to Samuel. Give me Romans 8:30. Romans 8:30. From the beginning, when the fall happened, the disobedience happened from Adam, God predestined us for something. It said, moreover, whom he predestined, you are seeing a capital letter H there, because we're talking about God. Whom he predestined, these, not one, there are many, these he what? Also called. Whom he called, these he also what? Justified. And whom he justified, these he also what? Glorified. You see that? From the very beginning, we were destined by God. That is why Jesus came, God was justified, and he wants us to be glorified in the Holy Spirit. And if you look at Colossians 1, where we left, it says there's a mystery that's been hidden. That's the mystery we're sharing right now. That's in the Holy Spirit. He said there's a mystery that's been hidden, Colossians 1 from verse 26. For your glory. Go there. There's a mystery hidden from ages past, from generation, but has now been revealed to you. Are you listening to the mystery this morning? It said the mystery has been hidden from ages and from generation, but now has been revealed to you. In 1 Corinthians 2, hit that for me very fast. Verse 6. Then you come to verse 27 of this part of scripture. It says, however we speak this wisdom amongst the mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Next part of scripture. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the ages for our glory. For our glory. Meaning when you understand the mystery, you get glorified. Alright? And I gave an instance in the crossover service. I said, if for instance your father left some money for you, and you are probably living poor today, he left so many gold for you in the house, how would you know it if he will not create a will and write, or a manual and write to you where it is stored? Maybe he gave it to his lawyer friend. And one day the lawyer friend will come to you and say, take this will from your dad. And as you are reading, you see your dad say, go to my house, go to my room, open the room, raise that old bed. I know the bed must be very old now. You've raised the bed, okay, start digging with a shovel. Just dig by faith somehow. As you are digging, then you see a lot of gold. What will you do? You start getting excited. But before that day, you were living in that same house, moving everywhere, sweeping that same spot, you never found the gold, and living in poverty. But the moment you found that gold, your life changed. But observe something. The information that led you to that gold is as important as the gold. Without that will, you would have not seen the gold. You see, the word of God is as important to God himself. If you look at verse 27 in Colossians, see what the Bible says about this mystery. See what it says. Verse 27. It says, Colossians, okay, it said, to them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mysteries among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. But how will you know this Christ in you except by the mysteries that has been designed to reveal the glory? What is the glory? Christ in you. But there's a mystery that was kept for you to show you who? Christ in you. Just like that manual was kept to show that young man the gold in the house. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you seeing why the wisdom of God is very important? It will show you the direction of God's glory that is on your inside. What's that glory? Christ in you. The Bible says hope. The word hope there is assurance and surety. Meaning Christ in you is the surety for glory. In other words, if you don't tap into Christ in you, there's no glory for you. But if you tap into Christ in you, there's glory for you. Are you listening to me? Very important. And that's the best place to be in life. Your life will completely change. Everything about you will change. Somebody was asking me one time, he said, Pastor Simon, were you born like this? I said, never, never, never. I was not born like this. I grew in the back. I grew in NJ bags. I saw life. And I told him one thing that blew his mind. I said, I can count how many times I entered the school by gate. Somebody said, what? I said, yes. I can count how many times. It's not more than 100. Maybe I stayed in that school but it's not more than 100. It was just a delight to pass through gates. To pass through fence, sorry. A delight. In fact, one time they had a meeting to catch me jumping fence. And while I jumped, I saw two teachers waiting for me. They hid themselves because there's no way to catch me. They had to hide themselves from the north to the south. And when I jumped, they shouted, Simon! And they caught me. I said, it was that terrible. And guess what? The next day I wanted to show them I was more than them. I still jumped the fence. And nobody caught me. And he continued. Because my dad would say, Sam, are you not going to school? It's almost 9 o'clock. I said, Dad, I'm going to go. Calm down. I will go. He said, are you going to pass the gate? I said, of course. And when it's to 9, I'm going to school when everybody have gone to school. But I'll be in every class. Every class. Because my bag was in school. So what kind of student is this with one book in his pocket? He'll just put his hand and be going to school. And be combing his hair. So I said, if God can get... You know, when I became born again, I didn't want some of my friends to know. Because those scattered people's mind about me. They knew me. I had this special friend that if he heard that I was born again, he would tell everybody it's a lie. So when I was born again, I was hiding it. I was ashamed to let people know that I was born again. But they found out. I heard a story that they went to tell one of my good friends. I was very close to him. They said, Simon is born again. He started laughing. So they said, that's not it. We heard he's not a pastor. He now said, God forbid, but it. They said, that's what he said. He said, God forbid, but it. That if Simon is a pastor, he's a pope. So when they told me, I was laughing because I understand why he's saying what he's saying. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I said, I was not born that way, brother. But the moment I knew God's word, my life changed. In the barracks, I preached everywhere when I became born again. There was no part of the barracks that didn't hear about Jesus from my mouth. I told him at age 16, 17, 18, thereabout, I was printing tracts with my own money to preach the gospel. I said, I was doing that. Every part of the barracks will hear me, view center or climb up, and I'll be speaking out Jesus. Because there was a fire burning in me when I understood this gospel. I said, and that's how it happened from BSU till I graduated until now. I said, anybody can change. See, I am a living proof that God can change anybody. I don't care how your life was. I know God can change anybody. You know, on crossover service, I was preaching and I asked people a question. I said, why are you not a smoker today? Why are you not a womanizer or a prostitute? Why are you not? I was waiting for somebody to give me a reason. There is actually no reason. It would have been you. There's no reason. You know, I meditated one time. I was thinking why I did not become a smoker. I found that there was no reason. Do you know the only reason I didn't smoke? It used to burn my chest. And the only reason I didn't drink alcohol, it used to burn my chest. Meaning, if it was not burning my chest. It was burning my chest. I don't know whether it was my mother that was praying that the thing should be burning my chest. I don't know. But I tried it. My friends will go and sit down, they'll be smoking. I'll collect some time, I'll try it, it will burn my chest, I'll throw it away. But I had them everywhere. If I turn, this one is buzzing. If I turn this one, it was a normal thing. So I said, I've learned through time that when I see people in tough situations, I can't come to them. Ah, can you be smoking? Are you mad? Don't you know smoking? You know some people preach like that. You don't know smoking will kill you or this thing? That's no gospel. They all know and they are still smoking because they can't help themselves. It has become an addiction. The only wisdom that can break them away from that is the gospel of Jesus. The gospel is the power. Are you listening to me? One last point as we close. Romans 8 verse 14. I want everybody to read. One of the ingredients that the Holy Spirit, that you must have for the Holy Spirit to be able to use you, and of course, as he's building you, he will help you to have this on your inside, is obedience. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are. Let's read together. One, two, go. Meaning, if he cannot lead you, you cannot. It is a proof that you have not understood sonship. Are we together? And that's what will help your journey to be very easy in manifesting the glory upon the face of the earth. And what we use to explain this is 1 Samuel 15. It's a beautiful story. I want everybody to read. Please, don't sleep. It's the most important part for me. Want to go? Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord. Continue. Verse 2. Be very fast. Next part of scripture. Now, I always like to explain this because it paints a wrong picture about God. You see, in the Old Testament, they were ruled by the ministry of angels. Are we together? In the New Testament, we are ruled by God himself. We saw that in Hebrews 2, verse 2. We'll just see that and continue this story. Please rush there. It said, for the word spoken through angels proved steadfast. And every word? transgressions received a just reward. Maybe from verse 1, so that it's more clear. It says, therefore we must give more. Okay. Alright, go to verse 3. Go to verse 4. Go to verse 5. Let's just hit that point. Alright, for he has not put the word to come of which we speak in what? Subjection to angels. There was a word in subjection to what? Angels. And verse 2 affirms it again. I pray you understand. Let's see verse 2 again. It says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast. Meaning before, words were spoken through what? Angels. Commands were given through what? Angels. And they proved steadfast. And every transgression from those commands received a reward. A just reward. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So there was a word in subjection to angels. It was the Old Testament word. The commands, angels, everything, angels. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So that it doesn't paint a wrong picture. For them, they believed that anybody standing against God's people should be destroyed. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because the righteous is very important in heaven. And that's why a part of the Bible says, God can spare, can destroy the life of thousands for the righteous. For one righteous person. Because in the realm of the spirit, if they call you righteous, you are the most important. Angels will guard you with their life. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Go back there and rush past that part of the scriptures very, very fast. Let's continue. Next, verse 4. So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim. 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. Next part of scripture. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Next part of scripture. Very fast. Then Saul said to the Kenites, go depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So the Kenite departed from among the Amalekites. Next part of scripture. Very fast. And Saul attacked them from what? All the way to Shur, which is what? Next part of scripture. He also took what? He took him alive. That's the first mistake. And utterly what? Destroy all the people with the edge of the sword. Next part of the Bible. But Saul and the people spared Agag and what? The beast of the sheep. The best of the sheep, sorry. And what? Oxen. And what? And what? And were unwilling to utterly destroy them. Both everything despised and what? Worthless. They utterly destroyed. This paints a picture of how human beings are. Everything that is bad. Go back to verse 9. Everything that was worthless, they destroyed. Everything that was nice, they kept. A lot of times we are able to sacrifice what we can sacrifice. And that's not sacrifice. It's when you do what you cannot do that is called sacrifice. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Look at what? But everything despised, worthless. That they utterly destroyed. Are you seeing that? Sometimes we are driving, we want to give somebody money, we shook our hand. And when we feel nylon, Nigeria has made it easy. Then we remove it. It's not sacrifice. It's what we can do. That's why sometimes when we say we are going to orphanage, I used to check the cloth some people are bringing. Because some of the cloths are very terrible. Sometimes you have to take one nice one from your own too. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's what we call sacrifice. Now, when he went there, he looked at everything that was nice. The best of the sheep he kept. Destroyed the worst one. The ones that are obviously bad, he destroyed them. The best of the oxen he kept. The best of the fatlings of the lamb, he kept. And all that was good, he kept. But the Bible said, it said, and he were unwilling to utterly destroy them. They were unwilling. I can use this to preach a whole sermon. You are working with the Holy Spirit. You want to touch salvation. You just became born again. Then the next thing is a walk with the Holy Ghost. He has to do some things on your inside to become like Jesus, isn't it? Then as you are going with him, he says you have to quit that relationship. That one you had before you became born again. Say, Lord, this one is hard. He loves me. And he will tell you, I know he loves you. But you are not meant for each other. If you look at it, God speaking to you literally, if you look at it, you are just destroying yourselves. Leave each other so that you find the rightful partner for yourself. You say, no. Anything God will say you should do. In fact, some of us, if God, some of us, money is not a problem with God. If God just say more, we'll complete in money. God, take money. But when God say relationship, when God say pride, ooh. Are you listening to me? For some people, women is not a problem. For some women, you know, they are following Holy Spirit. He say, block those 5 girls on Facebook messengers. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, this side, don't talk about this. Just let's be doing our thing. Just leave this side. Are you here? And some is collecting money. You are working with the Holy Ghost, but you are a good Christian lady working with the Holy Ghost. But there's one uncle sending you money. You don't see that like a serious sin. You just see it like a venial sin. It's a sin. A light sin. It happens. You are sending account numbers. The guy is liking you. You are saying no. But you are taxing the guy. Are you not an order? Say, this is not normally my character. Can you send me 20,000? Brother in Christ. You are calling somebody that have a crush in you. Brother in Christ. Then tomorrow when he say, can you visit me? He say, no. We don't do that. If I come, please don't touch me. They've already touched you, Mumu. They've touched you. What thing carry you go there? He said, please don't touch me. Oh, I'm going to come, but please don't touch me. I heard one. I was watching. I don't know if it's true. The guy said he's doing skits. It was a Christian lady. He went to the church. He's an usher. She invited him, blah, blah, blah. Then after it, he said it's real. That's what he wrote. I was so pained because it involved church. Then she was trying to do business. No money for business. He now send her 500,000. She now asked him, you send the money? Jesus Christ. She exclaimed. She will use Jesus Christ in this thing. She now said, what do you want? He said nothing. She was the one asking, what do you want? Are you sure you don't want something? He actually was promising us that it was real life. And he said, well, I'm just bored. If you can come and visit me and just take care of me. He said, no problem. When are you going to be at home? She went. Usher went with, not ushering dress. She went with club dress. He covered her face. Then when she entered, she was the one that put hand on his mouth and said, keep quiet. Let's go straight to me. Then they stopped the video. Money. You are serving God. You want to start business. Money is not coming for you. Satan will just ting. Where that guy? Agent! Stand up. Agent will just check Facebook and see your fine face. Say, hi, damsel. Say, let me just answer. It's not just answering. Let me answer. What is there? Hi. Bless you, brother. Say, can I just call you? How are you? Fine. Blah, blah, blah. No, please, I beg. You reject everything. Then he now sees what you are posting on Facebook. You have posted and nobody has buy for 1 week. You know that your perfume and slippers post, nobody has buy. And he said, how much is all this slipper? All. He said, sharp, no problem. You see price. He said, he started that. He now sends 50,000. So no, you said, can you just keep it? I just want to encourage your business. Then you think, in church, nobody has done that to you. No brother in church has ever done that. Rather, they are pricing that is too expensive. But I don't believe her. Just did that to you. You know, somebody told me a story that a young man was driven from church. Of course, that's a religious church. When he went to where to they drink alcohol and sat down, people were taking star. I was asking, which one you want? He said they were just keeping staff for him. So when they were telling me the story, they now said, so you see, the guy was loved in a club, but was not loved in church. And I told him it's a lie. Misery like companion. They know they are all perishing. That's why they are helping everybody to perish together. But I'm not trying to condemn them, but that's how the devil behaves. If you leave church now, say, I hate church, somebody will call you and say, me too, I hate church. Come and eat rice, Sunday rice. Misery like companion. You have a lot of friends. That's why if you observe, people stubborn in church are always friends with people stubborn in church. They don't like people that are serious in church as friends. Because if you got close to them, they'll hit your foolishness. And that one too, they claim holy, holy for church. Are you listening to me? And everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed, but everything that was important. And the Holy Spirit will not demand something that is not important to you. He will demand something very important to you. For me, I told you my story. When I became born again, started living, the Holy Spirit, first thing He told me, break out. I thought, listen, my relationship was not ungodly. We were not doing any ungodly thing. But I didn't enter into the relationship by the wisdom of the Spirit. And I was not ready for that relationship. It was just, in fact, we did not ask each other out. We were just living life as students. Then we started observing that we were liking each other. And we just didn't talk about it. We just allowed the like to continue. That's how my own started. And Holy Spirit said, let the like die. So I didn't know how to tell her that the like should die. Because I was spitting the fact that if I tell her, she'll be offended. She was really in love. Oh my goodness. Before I get to class, they buy two manual. Anything they are selling, they buy two. In fact, four. In case one spoil. So I said, God, all these gifts that this lady has given me, should I go and tell her that I'm not doing again? Will she not see me like a wicked person? I couldn't because of the emotions attached. And that's not all. She now told me deep secret. You know, if they want to put you in problem, lady, any lady that wants to say, I want to tell you something I've never told anybody, don't agree. Be scared. Because if you hear that thing, you will not go anywhere. That's how they padlock your life. Or some that will tell you that I dreamt something, I want you to say, go and meet your HOD. And that was the same week God spoke to me. He said, leave the relationship. The same week, a man of God was preaching. He didn't know my name. I went for the meeting for the first time. He said, when God is moving, God will just, if God wants to start something new with your life, He will just turn to you like He said to Simon in scripture. I said, Simon! He pointed me. My mind did boom. I said, God, you would have not done it in this public place. He said, upon you I'll build my church. And the gate of hell will not prevail. And that is why God, He was now coming towards me, will start demanding that you cut off from certain relationships. If you're in one. Then he turned. He said, are you people understanding me? Everybody kept quiet. Now I said, but I feel you're understanding me, young man. Are you getting me? I said, yes, sir. Then he continued teaching. I now realized he didn't even know my name. And I started telling God, please let him not know. I will break up immediately. I leave this service. But it was not easy. Are you listening to me? God knows what is destroying you. You see, the guy is a good guy, pastor. He's a very nice brother. But you people are having sex in the relationship. What can come out from... You see, when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is what? Inevitable. You are... God has told you what you do as a woman. God has told you will preach the gospel to nations. You'll be a very kingdom, wonderful kingdom entrepreneur. You are entering a relationship with a man that is not in the same purpose with you. What do you think will come out from that relationship if it's not sex? The only thing you will talk about is sex, sex, sex. There is nothing good that can come out. People that are focused with vision, sex cannot break the marriage. Why did they break it? The man cannot perform. Is he a performer? Who is the man? As a young pastor, I saw my spiritual father dealing with this case very well. You see, people say, the man, should not be doing a hand like this. I remember my spiritual father say, ask a lady one question one time. He said, it's not satisfying you, you say yes. He now said, who taught you satisfaction? The lady kept quiet. He said, if he's not satisfying, you should have no satisfaction before you met him. He now said to her, if you never met anybody and you met your man, he would have been your satisfaction. Did you catch what I just said? But you have gone to meet people that taught you satisfaction in another dimension. Then you come to meet this brother who knows nothing about satisfaction. And you are saying he should behave like a wild animal. No! He has missions to cover! Are you here? And that's why God advises us to not have anything to do with women before we marry. And you know, so this generation, they want to be tested. Because they don't walk by faith, they walk by sight. The Bible says we walk by faith and not sight. Somebody said, how will you know he's good on bed? Walk by faith. Say, Pastor, you mean I should not be walking by faith? Then God, I'm not being mumu. No, walk by faith. What we mean is that be spiritual. As you are spiritual, God will give you an impression of who your husband should be. And if God tells you that's your man, the man will complement everything in your life. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? Adam and Eve did not test. God did not put down and say, Adam and Eve, make una test, make I see whether it will work. No! If God did not tell the first man and the woman to test, he's not telling the middle men now or the last men and the women to test. It's a foolish wisdom. Walk by faith and not by sight. Pastor, does God give wife and husband? Yes, he does. I beg, I don't believe that rubbish. The Bible says he that search and finds a wife, find a good. So you have what it takes to search. What are you using to search? Some are searching by testing. Some are searching by messaging 20 girls on Facebook. A broadcast message will just say, I love you, talk your own. 20, then the ones that talk their own, they will start seeing whether the relationship can work. No! God can speak to you. Since they born me till now, the first person I didn't ask out, we flowed. The only person I ever asked out is the person I married. And I had a vision about it. I heard God telling me about it. Yes, some level of doubt will come, but we walk by faith. Until today, I've not regretted. Hallelujah. You know, one of my friends called me. He said, sir, I heard you have a child now. I said, yes, I have a baby girl. He said, what? I said, yes, what? I knew where he was going to. He said, how did you get a child? I said, God gave me a child. He said, but Simon, you like this? Tell me, am I dreaming? I knew the stupidity he wants to start. So I was just following the stupidity. I said, yes. The Holy Ghost came upon me and a child came upon her. That's what happened. He said, nobody taught you. I said, nobody. Then I asked him, who taught Adam? Huh? Then let's watch videos to learn. Which video did Adam watch? Think about it. Which video the impartation is in everybody. It's in your spirit. When you have your wife, you know it. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit doesn't teach that rubbish. He teaches. Next part of scripture. I want to end now. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, please just bear with me, I'm about to end. I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king. For he has what? And has not what? And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Next part of scripture, very fast, please. So when Saul rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Next part of scripture. Then Samuel went to Saul and said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Next part of scripture. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Sir, I've quitted the relationship. Why is he still calling you by 7 p.m.? But they didn't get what I'm trying to say. You said you have destroyed everything. I'm hearing Shanu. Shanu is doing mwah, mwah, mwah. Where did you get that from? Sir, I'm not in a relationship with that person. We're just in talking terms. Why? It starts from talking terms. As you are growing, you are growing. I told some people, I said, you can never be wiser than God. It's a wrong company. He didn't say friends, it's a wrong company. It corrupts good manners. Meaning, as long as somebody is your friend or you are just around them, you will not know when the impartation will come upon you. What they are doing, you start doing. Samuel was around prophet. He started prophesying. By default, he's not a prophet by God. He started prophesying. If you live around smokers, you always wake up, you will start smoking. You are relating to the atmosphere. If you live around people that steal, before you know, you'll become the sixth thief if there were five thieves there. Wrong company. The law of company is very important. You are talking to a lady every day. And you say she is not meant for you. Before you know, she'll be meant for you. She'll be meant for you. You will see what nobody has ever seen. Because you're asking her, what did you eat? But she's showing you care. You are showing care. Before you know, you are still liking yourself. But meanwhile, this is an agenda. This is an agenda. God said kill everything, but that part is why you not enter destiny. God forbid that one boy is why you could not touch destiny. God forbid that one girl is why you could not enter into your God-given assignment. My spiritual father told me this many years ago. I couldn't stop praying. He said, Simon, God forbid there is one fine girl that made it possible for you to stand before God and say, Lord, I didn't achieve what you said. He said, God forbid. I rebuke that in your life. I said, amen, sir. And so while I was growing up, you know one thing the devil did? Oh, God, it's not the devil. One privilege I've seen, I have seen fine girls in my life. And my ministry has raised fine girls. I've seen fine girls. Fine girls even like this church. And it's not a problem at all. When it becomes a problem when my heart is not altered. And I'm looking for a fine girl to marry. Everybody I can marry should be fine. But of course, God should tell me who to marry. Because I cannot marry two women. I can only marry one. I told one of my friends in BSU, every semester he has a new girlfriend. Many years ago. I said, you have not even gone for service. You're having a new girlfriend. I said, when you go for service, you will see plenty in this batch. You just be seeing fine girls. I said, if you go to another city, you see plenty of fine girls. In fact, the beautiful ones are not yet born. I said, there's a wife for you. Calm down. He's my senior by 5 years. I married. He has not married. He just messaged me not too long that he has seen a wife. Because I told him to stop messaging me for a wife till he's sure he has seen a wife. Because he will message me and say, this one is the last one. Then later I will say, Kai, this one no get sense. He just got married. I was so happy for him. But I remember I was advising him. I said, if you are following shapes and sizes and long and you will not see who to marry. I said, calm your soul. Jesus is your satisfaction. Calm your soul. Then your eyes will be open to see. God is not giving you. See, some of you, if you say, God, show me my wife, what you are looking for is big body, big, you know. But then just say, if God allows some men to build their wife, you know, God just say, Pastor, am I enter that place where I create human beings? Create your wife. He said, what God will see will shock God. Even God will be shocked. What? Some will create three women as one. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because you are focused on the flesh. That is why ladies are focused on what men are. That's where the market is. You see ladies going to gym, doing they'll go and be choking injection in their body. They want to build something for men. They have observed that when they pass as slim ladies, nobody then. But when one lady passed, every man was like this. They said, I know what to do. So they went and saved millions and went and increased their body too. So that when they pass, people's husbands who are passing are turning their head. And you know my pain? My pain in all this matter is that the spiritual ladies now, they will say, go and gym. They will say, no. I'm going to touch people too. You see a church girl, they say, go and gym and become shapely and go. You say, no. Heaven is the goal. All right. Say, it's not good. It's not good. Heaven is the goal. All right. And you're at home praying, God block the eyes of my man. From every mommy water lady. A spiritual lady sees a lady looking sharp and fine. They'll say, she's from the coast. She's from the rivers. So a lady cannot look that fine. She's a queen of the coast. That's foolish mentality. Some of you, all you do is eat food, watch movie, and sleep. Nothing else. Then when you wake up one morning, even the skirt is not understanding your body. And you are wondering. Listen, no. We're in church. Let's talk to ourselves. Let's be very real to ourselves. Because you like to make men in the church feel like they are losers. So because we say we want to serve God, then we should just get the worst. husband is a devoted kingdom man, an apostle. Listen to the words of your husband. Anytime you speak, you say, he said, when the spirit of lust, you see him talking about the spirit of lust. When the spirit of lust, it's not you he's talking about. He was walking somewhere preaching and the spirit of lust came because he saw some things. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke. But when he goes back home, that temptation he saw outside, he can't see in his house. Why? Because you just come with rapper. Ah, welcome, honey. Learn that. Learn that very, 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 very fast. You go back home, all the things you were doing as a single lady, you can't do again. So your husband go back home, your hair, you are still losing your hair. Honey, welcome. Oh. They've never come back, they see you looking classy and watching TV. Help yourselves. Because I was teaching in the young ministers this, and I told them this truth. Let's be very realistic. Be very realistic. You put the pressure on men so much. Women too have a problem. When I'm done after this service, some of you, your routine of jogging, start it. Else, not even only for men, you will die early. It's the truth. At 50, you'll be looking like 80. Joyce Meyer said it. She said the Holy Spirit told her, I've never heard that thing in my life. I don't know the Holy Spirit used to tell people to jog. I was listening to Joyce Meyer. She said the Holy Spirit told me to be taking my exercise so serious. And I was not serious. But when I began to obey the Lord, I was just putting my eyes. Hey. In our own country, the Holy Spirit only tells somebody to pray and fast. He doesn't tell people to jog. He said, that is why I'm 81 now and I'm looking like she's over 81 or 82. Joyce Meyer. How many of you know Joyce Meyer? Have you seen her recently? Looks sharper than a lot of us. It's the truth. Go and look at if they put, please look for that picture for me. You put it before we close. Let them put Joyce Meyer. Some of you will be so, your mind will, she looks like 26. That's another, just forget that one. Let's continue. So what is that signal I'm hearing? You say you have stopped. What is that signal I'm hearing? You have blocked the lane. What is that? You have cut off from the relationship. What is that I'm hearing? The attribute are still there. Next part of scripture. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekite. For the people spared the best sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. To the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed, he shouted. Next part of scripture. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet! In present day, Samuel would have said, shut your mouth up, O king. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to me, speak on. Sometimes when God speaks to us for you, and we give instruction, if you don't listen, we can be angry like Samuel. I say, something is wrong with you. It doesn't mean we are bad people. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, God was showing Samuel. He said, when you were little, when you were not king, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? You were little in your own eye. Now you are big, right? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they are all consumed. Next part of scripture. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? What has happened to you? And everybody should think about this for a moment. There was a time you were very serious with the things of God. Well, how is it that as you grew up, especially for ladies, it gets to a point, you are getting to 25, 26, 27, and you have not found a man for your purpose to marry. Then there's pressure everywhere, and any man goes. So all of this, your devotion to God, will end up because you want to marry. The pressure to marry. I've seen ladies that miss it in marriage because of this wrong mentality. And I ask, who wrote it down that people must marry at 23? Who wrote it down? You have to wake up. You are seeing your destiny before you, but because of what people will say, you are entering into things that can utterly destroy your life. Things that have no eternal value. Are you listening to me? Why? Because of the pressure of what people are telling you. Sometimes from home, sometimes from neighboring environment. Next part of scripture. And Saul said to Samuel, but I obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Next part of scripture. But the people took out of the plunder sheep and oxen, the best of... Now he was putting it on the people to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Next part of scripture. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord has a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? As in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams." Because when God says, obey me in this aspect, he knows why he's saying obey me. There's something that must die in you for something to be alive in you. That's why he gave you a personal instruction. Now, if I marry any Christian, he goes, we can still serve the Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It's not about serving the Lord anywhere. It's about obeying the Lord and aligning yourself for his purpose to find expression. Are you here tonight? So Samuel said, has the Lord has it? Now, next part of scripture, 23. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also what? Rejected you from being king. Obedience. Stop. No, go back there. Obedience is as the sin of what? Witchcraft. Think about it. In other words, when you disobey God, you are under the mastery of the devil. Disobeying God is obeying the devil. Disobeying God, there is no middle ground. Disobeying God is obeying the devil. If God said, that's not the man to marry, and you marry him, you are following Satan's agenda. You are empowering Satan's agenda. If God said, that's not the path, that's not the city to go to, and you go, you are supporting Satan's agenda. Listen, these things are very important than all the shouting services. You must understand this. They are more important than the shouting services. I was telling the leaders yesterday, my spiritual father before he died called me. He said, Simon, you are the best. I said, it's all humility. And I was so scared. I said, why did you say I'm the best, sir? We have a lot of great guys around us. And he said, he not laugh. He said, for obedience is better than sacrifice. He said, because I tell you come, you come. Go, you go. Do this, you do it. That's why I've crowned you the best. And watch it, you become the best in everybody I've raised. He said it. I'm not trying to say I'm the best. He told it. And why I was excited was because he pointed me to the fact that made me the great. He said, because obedience is better than sacrifice. I was the laziest. I couldn't fast and pray so much, but he called me the best. He said, because obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. If you are not under, you know, we read a part of scripture in the book of Jonah. The Bible said, and Jonah departed from the presence of the Lord. When he disobeyed God, the Bible said that he departed from the presence of the Lord. How do you depart from God's presence? By disobeying God. Are you listening to me? Don't be wise in your own understanding. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. A lot of times your understanding can be like comfort zone. It's like God's path is very difficult. You just want to lie and have a little rest on your understanding. Because it seems like something you should trust. It's more tangible. It's more relatable. And God's ways are just there. They seem so strange. God, how can this thing be? I think I'll just stay with my own understanding. I'll lean on it. And that's where trouble comes. Next part of scripture. Then Saul said to Samuel, I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I fear the people and obeyed their voice. Because I what? Feared the people and what? Obeyed their voice. So sometimes as a leader, you must not fear the voice of the people. Else they will be destroyed and you will be destroyed and obey their voice. Next part of scripture. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. Well, let's end here. One point again I want to hit. When God rejected Saul as king, Jonathan was his son. Hope you know. Jonathan was his son. That means Jonathan was not going to be king again because of the disobedience of his father. In other words, the sin you do today can even affect your children if you are not careful. There are some of you that are destined to give birth to great and mighty children. But your disobedience today is why you may never align yourself to give birth to those kind of children. And some of you already have the children. But your disobedience can affect your children. Jonathan was not king again, even though he had royalty in his blood. He was a very nice person. If you read 1 Samuel 13, Jonathan was so wonderful. When the soldiers were few, he said, let's go and fight. Even with 13 armies, we can win if God said we'll win. He had so much faith, but he was not king. Why? Because God cut off his lineage from kingship. The disobedience of his father. Are you listening to me tonight? Live a life that tomorrow you can be proud and tell your children, my obedience is why your life is like this today. Are you here tonight? And sometimes we may not understand because we are young. But as you grow, you understand this wisdom. Amen? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Don't be stubborn. Refuse to be stubborn. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He said disobeying is as the sin of witchcraft. Meaning, you think you are the one being stubborn. Hey, leave me. And Satan has put something in your head. He's controlling you. Witchcraft means you are under the spell of the devil. Meaning, Samuel is telling Saul, the reason you did that was because Satan, hold your head. Satan planned it. It was, you were under the man. God said it. Satan now came to negate it. Anytime God speaks, remember the parable in Matthew 13. Satan will come. The birds of the air came. Blah, blah, blah. To steal the seed that was planted. Like we are done in service today. Do you know, you may leave this service today and the greatest temptation may come to you today. All your life, I told you that story of a Yahoo boy that came to me that he wants to be born again. When we're done, he told me he had a charm. I said, bring the charm, let's burn. He went to the house. Couldn't make it because he was working in a hospital. When he went back home, I wanted to come the next day. He said, sir, that night I was just sitting with my laptop and alerts were entering. All the things I had applied for before in a Yahoo way, all of them worked that night. He said, sir, what can you say about this? I said, please, come, let's burn that charm. He said, sir, why is it that when I want to become born again, that's when I started seeing all of this money. Now, he didn't call me again. No. I was the one calling him now. When Satan saw that he wants to be born again, everything he applied that didn't work through Yahoo, Satan started doing it to work. You see? Because he wants to make sure that guy is sustained there, let him kill the guy. Check it at the end of everything when you make all the money. What do you do with the money? What? What do you do with the money? I'll flex. I'll have babes. What then happens at the end of everything? Vanity. You will speak like David. Vanity upon, I think Solomon, vanity upon vanity. Say all is vanity. If you don't walk by the wisdom of God, that's what happens. That will be your statement at the end of life. Are you listening to me? Money is to support and push purpose. And that's why don't be scared of people that tell you, nobody should teach you how to use your money. I hope you know people spend billions in clubs. Are you in this service tonight? Make the money. Push it for the kingdom. Why are we making the money? God knows our heart. And if God knows your heart, he will sponsor you. We are making it to push the kingdom. I told my wife, I said, I want to become a big billionaire. She started laughing. I said, a very big one. Big one. I said, so that anything God wants to do, I can do it. He can do it through me. Anything he wants to do. Bible says, for money itself is a defense. You think if we don't have money as a church, we'll be able to do some kind of things in this world? We will never be able to do. I told you a story of Pastor Chris. As I close, they caught his pastor in America during the COVID for preaching. And when they caught his pastor, I was hearing the story from a pastor friend who works there. It was a terrible case. They said they were going to put him in prison for a long time. He now asks a question. You say, who is the person that has won the most cases in that place? They called the lawyer. They said, but they feel like they want to use that lawyer against him. He said they should tell the lawyer that he wants to offer the lawyer some money. The lawyer came. He said, how much? He said, he now offered times two or so of the money to the lawyer. He said, I want you to go and take my pastor out from. The lawyer went, won the case, brought the pastor out. That was one of the stories. The second one, one of his pastor was in the U.S. They wanted to arrest the pastor for preaching. The person that had the airline was their usher in church. Oh, I don't know that you are here tonight. So the person that had the airline was their usher in church. The person just booked They did not follow they just said, this flight is going. The guy entered, only him. Move straight to Ghana. Nobody stop him. Why? Olsha has the airline. For money itself is a... Have money. It's important. God wants you rich. He wants you very rich. I'm not saying God has called you to be... That's the goal of Christianity. No. But you see that consoling gospel that makes you stay in your poverty. The God does not make anybody rich. Say, yes, yes, because you want to be poor and lazy. God makes people rich. He empowers you. And when he empowers you, you are the one that bring about riches. Are you listening to me? Is the Lord God that has given you power to what? Make. Bow your heads and pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your empowerment tonight. We know that, Lord, as we go back home, our lives can never remain the same. We know we are changed for good all the days of our life. Lord, let your word be a light for our path and a lamp for our feet. Now pray and speak God's word over your life in the direction you've heard. You alone know yourself. Speak God's word in the direction of your life that you have heard. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. I can hear you. Pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word tonight that is able to convict me into the right path. Onto the right path. That's able to keep me in the right course. Focus on the right course. Tonight, Lord, I repent from everything that is wrong. As your light has come to me tonight, I'm walking in the direction of your light. Go ahead, make up your mind. Go ahead. Woo! Rabashakatala bragadiyaka subrande baluja. Go ahead and pray. Take some moment. Talk to the Lord. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead and pray. I can hear you. Oh, ribagashanda bo rigabas kalija. There's no day that you don't help me out. There's no day that you don't show me love. You have promised that you will let me down. And yes, you are real. I'm not dreaming. You are the one for me, my love. I've seen you heal. I'm not dreaming. You are the one for me, my love. Yes, you are real, I'm not dreaming. You are the one for me, my Lord. I've seen you heal, I'm not dreaming. I'm not dreaming, yeah. Open up, open up, open up. You captured my heart. My heart, Jesus, yeah, Jesus, yeah, Jesus, yeah, you've captured my heart, Jesus, yeah, Jesus, yeah, Jesus, yeah. There's no way that you don't show me love. There's no way that you won't help promise you will let me. And yes, you are real and not tripping. You are the one for me. I've seen you heal. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Living God. He's the Holy Ghost, He's the seal of the age to come. He's the Holy Ghost, scepter of the King of Kings. Changing everything in obedience to Christ. That's what He's doing tonight. So swallow your pride tonight. Come to the school of the Spirit. Don't you know? In His hands are the key to eternal life. A little thing, until the day will done. He's at work in us, changing everything. It'll be the sugar. He's the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the Living God. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the scepter of the King of Kings. He's the Holy Ghost. He's a seal of the age to come. He's changing everything. It'll be the crown. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I love you, yeah. You have opened mine, you have opened mine, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you who guide me in all things, you who guide me in all things. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, as you steer a fresh walk with your Spirit in us, to bring us into everything that is destined for us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we believe that tonight, that grace to obey the Holy Spirit and enter into our purchased position is tiered for us on our inside in the name of Jesus. And the people of God will shout a big, mighty Amen. Hallelujah.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.